Okay, well, as you know, I think you know, most of you, we're going through a short series looking at some of the one another statements that are made in the Bible. These statements all have something about how we ought to relate to one another in the church and as believers. They remind us, actually, that we're not individuals, but we're actually part of a body. We are meant to live in a church environment, in a fellowship, together with one another. And so we're not individuals, we're part of Christ's church, Christ's body. We looked at, didn't we, what it means to love one another. And there we saw that we are to love one another in the same way that God has loved us. That is through action. God demonstrated his love to us by sending his Son to die upon the cross and to give his life as a ransom for many. We are to demonstrate God's love through our actions by what we do. And all of the other one another statements really are rooted in and flow from that first one, to love one another. Last week, we looked at what it means to forgive one another. And again, we saw that we should forgive one another in the same way that God forgives us. We've been forgiven completely, haven't we? God, he says, remembers our sin no more. Once we've come to him in repentance and put our faith and trust in him, our sins are washed away, completely blanked out, as though they never existed. He says he remembers them no more. And we're to forgive other people in that same way. We're not to bear grudges, not to hold on to things, but we are to forgive as God has forgiven us. We've been forgiven much by God, haven't we? We've been forgiven everything by God. And it really shouldn't be difficult for us to forgive the minor things from other people. So we are to forgive as God forgives us. We did recognise, of course, that forgiveness can be difficult. It's not always easy to do, is it? But we are able and we are empowered through God's Spirit to do that. And we saw, didn't we, that when we do forgive, it's an empowering thing. There's power in forgiveness. We saw that as we truly forgive people, then that God really blesses us through that. We spoke about, there's an illustration that Corrie ten Boom gave about how she forgave one of her captors in the concentration camps and how powerful that was and how powerful it was for her to be able to do that. Ultimately, the ability to forgive others is the mark, the essential mark of a true believer. Well, this week we're moving on to encourage one another. Encourage one another. And there's a couple of verses in both of those readings we had. Hebrews 3:13 says this, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." And also Hebrews 10:25 says this, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, there are plenty of other passages which talk about encouraging one another, encouragement. We saw it in Thessalonians, both in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, where Paul says, "Encourage one another with these words." And then in 5:11, he says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." To encourage one another is something we really need to take seriously. So what is encouragement? What does it actually mean? You know, it does seem, I guess, in our modern society, encouragement has been reduced to simply making somebody feel good about themselves. That's what it tends to be. That's what we tend to mean by encouragement. We tend just to make somebody feel good about themselves. But that isn't really what encouragement should be about. Especially for us as believers. For believers, it should be trying to positively influence one another for their good and for the benefit of the church. Let me say that again. Positively influence one another for their good and the benefit of the church. That's what it means to encourage in the Christian context. And if you go to the Oxford English Dictionary, it says this, "The action of giving someone support, confidence or hope." And I think that definition gives us a good idea about what encouragement should really be about and how we should go about encouraging one another. We should support one another. We should do our best to inspire confidence in one another. And we should remind one another of the hope that we have. And all of this is so that the church becomes more effective and productive. So let's have a look at those couple of passages we read. Firstly, encouragement's got to be constant. Encouragement has to be constant. In Hebrews chapter 3, we read there, didn't we, that we should encourage each other as long as it is today. This gives us the need for constant encouragement. You see, it's always today, isn't it? It's always today. Tomorrow never really comes. So what is he saying there? We should always be looking to encourage one another. Always. Not just at certain times, not just when we feel perhaps somebody particularly needs it, although that's obviously a time we should, but we should be looking to encourage one another all of the time, as long as it is today. Unfortunately, I think if we're honest, we don't always do that, do we? You know, the context of this call to encourage in Hebrews 3 is actually the failure of the nation of Israel to encourage and support one another. You know, rather than persevere with God when things were difficult, he's talking about back in the Old Testament, he's referring back to their time in the wilderness when they turned away from God because things got difficult. They turned from God, they turned on each other. And the author of Hebrews is trying to draw out a lesson for his readers from that. He says, what we should be doing is what the Israelites should have done and failed to do. And that is to encourage one another when things get difficult. You know, the Israelites actually discouraged one another with their whinging and their moaning. They wore one another down, bickering about silly things. Sound familiar? Take a good hard look. And I say this to myself as well. Take a good hard look at the attitude you have to the church and the people around you. Can you honestly say that primarily you are encouraging other people? Or are you moaning and whinging and discouraging? You know, the Israelites were coming up against tough opposition. They had difficult times ahead of them. And with this attitude they were exhibiting in the desert, they were in no position to move on and move forward with God. And God wanted them to stop bickering and to encourage one another, but they didn't. And the same is true of us. You know, we're never going to be in a position to make an impact on the world around us if we cannot stand united and encourage one another. Because the opposition we face in the world is just as strong and intense as it was for the Israelites. It may be different, but we have a lot of opposition against Christianity in the world around us. We live in a world that wants to take God out of the picture completely. And unless we are prepared to encourage one another and to display a united front, we won't be able to move forward and make an impact on the world. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, which we looked at recently, reminds us that we are to build one another up. That's what we're to do, aren't we? To build one another up, to encourage one another. This is what God wants for us as believers. This is inspiring the confidence to persevere in spite of these discouragements of the world around us. I suppose in a sense, this is a call not to be negative. That's what he's saying, is it? That's what he wanted the Israelites to be, not negative. An encouragement of sorts that is something that ought to be very positive. And this is where the idea of supporting one another comes in. We find some encouragement to persevere from that second reading in the passage in Hebrews chapter 10. So let's turn over to that one, where we find encouragement to persevere. Now the context of this passage in Hebrews 10 is where the author wants the believers to persevere in their faith because of what Christ has done. You know, we often simply use these verses or think of these verses as a way of encouraging people not to stop going to church, or perhaps we beat them over the head with it to encourage them to come to church. I'm not sure how we do that. But the idea is that, you know, there, we use this verse, don't we, where we say, you know, don't get in the habit of, you know, what some people are doing of stopping to meet, but instead keep coming along, keep meeting. And that's very often how we use this verse, I guess. But there's more to it than that. If you look at verse 24 of chapter 10, he says there that we should spur one another on. This is to encourage one another, to spur one another on, to love and good deeds. The Greek word there, I can't pronounce, literally is to stir each other up, to provoke one another, if you've got the King James. That's what it means in encouragement in this sense, is to provoke one another to love and good deeds. We need to be aware of the needs around us, and we need to encourage one another within those needs as best we can. So what does that mean, practically? If you know somebody is perhaps feeling a bit down, you ought to get alongside them and try to build them up, to encourage them, to provoke them to move on. If you see a need that somebody has in the fellowship, you know, what does love do? Love is action, isn't it? Love is to try and meet the need that has. It may be a practical need. And we encourage people by showing our love to one another and meeting those practical needs. We're told to spur one another on to love and good deeds. Many of us seem to think we don't have to be very active in our Christian faith. We seem to think as long as you don't harm anybody or upset anybody, then we're probably good enough. As long as we turn up on a Sunday morning and sit there and listen patiently, then that's probably as good as we need to do. We are very passive in our Christian faith. We don't want to interfere, do we, with other people? We don't want to get in the way. So as long as we demonstrate our love by not doing anything, we'll be fine. Well, we shouldn't interfere where we're not wanted, clearly. But love isn't passive. It's active. Real love is demonstrated in what we do. Love is shown in the good deeds and encouraging one another. So what we ought to be doing is being positive, thinking about how we can encourage one another. Do you do that? Do you ever sit there and think at home and think, well, how can I encourage so-and-so? How can I encourage that person in the church? How can I encourage the elders? Do you ever do that? That's what we ought to be doing. Positive. Thinking about what we can do to encourage one another. We should be encouraging one another to help other people. And in doing that, we demonstrate God's love and the truth of the gospel. We should be an encouragement to those inside the church so that we can demonstrate God's love outside. Am I positive in my approach to all that I do? Do I seek the best for others? Am I honestly able to say that I spur one another on? Those are the questions we ought to be asking ourselves this morning. But of course, we're not able to do that unless we spend time with one another, are we? And the author makes that very point here in Hebrews by stating that we should not give up meeting together. In order to effectively encourage one another, we have to make the effort to meet together. And yes, it is an effort sometimes, isn't it? I'm sure it's much easier to stay in bed on a Sunday morning, or to sit in front of a TV on a Sunday evening, or perhaps to find something else to do on a house group night. But is that the best way of encouraging one another? No. Sometimes we have to get out of our beds and get up into the cold mornings to come out of the church on a Sunday. Sometimes you have to turn the TV off and think, I'd rather be at church encouraging my fellow Christians on a Sunday evening. Or maybe you think midweek meetings, oh, they're so dreary. Well, no, they're not. They're really exciting. That happens. But you want to come out in the middle of the week to another meeting. Well, of course you do if you want to encourage everybody. You know, clearly some of the recipients of this letter had been failing to see their need of Christian fellowship, failing to see their need of encouragement and encouraging. And we ought to meet together for two reasons in particular. One is to be encouraged. It's important that we continue to meet for fellowship and encouragement with other believers, because we live in a world that is trying to drag us down the whole time. And meeting with other believers helps build us up. It's that old illustration, and we don't have coal fires so much anymore, but I'm still going to use it. The old illustration of the coal fire. You take one coal out of the fire, and it soon grows cold, doesn't it? But you put it back in the fire, and it heats back up again. And that's what Christian fellowship is really all about. You can't have Christian fellowship in isolation. You must meet together to be encouraged. But also, we are to encourage others. We've seen already how important it is that we spur one another on. And this is another purpose of meeting together, and we shouldn't forget that. We should be encouraging one another by meeting together. I guess sometimes that doesn't always happen. We perhaps find our meetings have the opposite effect and we go away discouraged. Well, why is that? Because we're not taking a positive approach to those meetings. If that is how you feel when you leave church, whose responsibility is that? Is it mine because I've bored you to death on a Sunday morning? Possibly, to some degree. But actually, the real responsibility lies with each of us as individuals. If you're seeking to be an encouragement to others, you will find that in doing that, you will gain encouragement yourself. If you come with the attitude that I'm going to have encouragement from God by being at church today, you almost certainly will be encouraged by God through being at church today. But if you're just sitting back, expecting that you're just going to get something the whole time, you're probably going to end up frustrated and discouraged. You see, we will be encouraged when we take the time to encourage others. When we're positive about why we're here and why we're any church gathering. And if you're tempted to give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, then please pay attention to this passage, because God expects you to persevere, and he also expects the rest of us to encourage others to persevere. And he says it should be even more evident as the day approaches. And there we have, if you like, the impetus for the encouragement of the believer. What is it? What is this impetus? It's Christ's return. That is our impetus for all that we do, isn't it? And it should be the impetus we have for encouraging one another. We've spoken quite a lot in recent weeks, as we've been through Thessalonians, about Christ's return. But it should always be at the forefront of our minds. We've talked about, haven't we, how knowing that Christ's return is imminent ought to spur us on to share with the gospel with those who are lost. And that, of course, is very true. But it should also spur us on to encourage one another in our daily walk with God. Here in Hebrews 10, the writer exhorts us to encourage one another, and even more so as the day approaches. Remember, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18, he says, therefore encourage each other with these words. Would you remember what those words were? Remember what Paul was referring to? It's the words he'd just written to them in chapter 4 about the Lord's return. That's what his subject was in that passage. Does it encourage you to know that Christ will return soon? Because it ought to. And this is how we're to encourage one another. We may need to get our priorities right here and get the right perspective about life. Now, I've proposed this question before, but just think about this, honestly. If Jesus was to say to you today that he could come back tomorrow, or he could leave it for a year, what would you choose? If he could come back tomorrow, or he could leave it for a year, what would you choose? I'm not going to ask you to answer that, but I suspect the choice might be determined by several factors. For the spiritual amongst us, we want more time to win souls to Christ, wouldn't we? So we want to have that more time to be a good witness. For others, it might be, well, I've not had my holiday this year yet, and I'd rather do that, if you don't mind, and if you could leave it a little bit longer. But actually, the choice should be determined by one factor. And Paul says this quite clearly. I've run the race. I've done my best. And now I want to be with Christ forever. That's what ought to determine that choice. And that's why it should be an encouragement to us. Because we know that when Christ returns, we're going home. We're pilgrims in this world, aliens and strangers. Our home isn't here. But when Christ returns, he's taking us home. And there won't be any more of this struggling. There won't be the need to persevere, because we'll be at rest in Christ for eternity. We'll have everything that he has to give us. As it tells us in Revelation, there will be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death, no more destruction, no more sin. We'll live eternally with him. That's what we've got to look forward to. And we ought to encourage one another with those things. To encourage each other to live now for Christ as we look forward to his return. To encourage one another to witness to those around us, because they need to know about Jesus before he comes back. To encourage one another to persevere through difficult times, because those times are only temporary. They won't last forever. To encourage one another and remind one another that we have something far better to look forward to. Far better than anything this world has to offer. Do you think you can encourage one another? I'd like you maybe to go home and think about what I can do to encourage somebody this week. But let's heed the words of Scripture, shall we? Let's heed the words of Scripture and make a positive effort to encourage one another. Don't sit back and expect everybody else to encourage you, although they should. But be positive. Go out of your way to encourage other people. You see, if we truly love one another, we're then able to forgive one another. And then surely our desire is going to be that we encourage one another.